Welcome to another episode of Bring Out Your Undead. I'm Megan, and I have reanimated both Casey and Mieka to continue our conversation on apparitions in D&D 5th edition. This episode is called Shadows. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again.
In this episode, we'll be peering into the darkest corners of the room and seeing if anything moves, even the darkness, and hopefully we'll stop jumping at our own shadows as we explore these silent killers. I felt like that was for me. That was a message.
Yeah. Message. Yeah.
You're that being was for called me.
Out. Message received.
Fuck you, Adam. Yeah.
I really want at some point, and I hope that he's already done this, just cut out all the fuck you Adams and all the fuck so you Dans. Yeah. And then just have like a 20-minute episode of fuck you Dan, fuck you Adam. Yes. Fuck you Dan, fuck you Adam.
Be amazing.
Make a jingle out of it.
I could.
But okay, so it's been a year and a half since we started this series.
I can't even believe that.
I know.
Really? Yeah.
But I guess it's about time to ask, are you afraid of the dark?
Yes.
Yep, 100% I am afraid of the dark.
I am afraid of it. You guys have now been in my household a few times. I don't even know how many lights and, like, night lights I have around the house. There are fake battery-powered candles. There's everything on the planet that will emit some kind of a light.
Yeah.
Because I hate the dark. I hate it. I sleep with lights on. So,
I need the bathroom light on, specifically.
Yep. I've been doing the bathroom light on right now because my fairy lights are dead.
Oh.
Because, like, for anyone, I have fairy lights above my bed, and that's where, you know, the light comes from, so I don't sleep in the darkness, but they're currently dead, so I sleep with the bathroom light on because that's enough light that'll come into the bedroom, but I also have a night light beside my bed, so.
Wow. This is interesting.
Yeah.
I am not afraid of the dark.
Really?
I am afraid of the creatures that might be in the dark.
Okay, but that's the same thing.
But almost. I'm not necessarily afraid of, like what if my room is pitch black, I don't go into a feared panic.
Oh, no. If you want Megan to, if you want to see Megan run the fastest she's ever run in her life, if the power goes out in the middle of the night and I don't have a light source beside me, I will be on the other side of the room where there is a light source faster than you can even blink. Like, if there was a, like, there's been a time where my fairy lights in my bedroom have gone out while I've been sleeping, and then I wake up and they're off.
And it's like, I need to fix this.
I immediately run to turn the light on. Like, I have to. Like, I cannot exist in the dark.
Yeah. Like, I have worked in facilities where there is no window to the outside, and the power has gone out, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah, no.
I've never been in darkness like that before.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and the West Coast Trail has come up recently before. Hiking the West Coast Trail, there is absolutely zero light pollution.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So in the night, if the moon isn't out, like, well, and sleeping in your tent, you truly cannot see your hand in front of your face. Oh, there is zero light anywhere.
Can't do
and, like, I don't know, it was just, like, calming and peaceful.
We used to do, like, hike in, hike out camps when I was growing up because I was in scouts. And, like, you would get to the top of a mountain, and if there was no moon or what have you, it's fucking
just,
pitch black.
Yeah, so dark.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, in a canopy of tree cover, too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no way. And then I remember, like, having to get up to, like, go outside to go to the bathroom. Worst nightmare.
No.
Like, especially I'm the kind of person that, like, when I can't be the person that turns the lights off to go to bed at night.
Yeah.
So even when I'm at my partner's place, I cannot be the one that turns the light off. I have to be in bed before the light. Because they don't.
Okay, I'm ready.
They don't have night lights the way I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, ready.
So cute.
All right. So before we get whisked away into Neverland with the talk of shadows, etc., let's recap some of the other incorporeal ghostlies that we have spoken about already. So, obviously, there is, of course, the OG ghost, which is our CR4 hard-to-hit ghostly being that is clinging to the planes due to unfinished business. So, basically, finish up that business, and they will probably just disappear. Or kill them slowly, whatever you prefer. Quick reminder that these are the ones that cause necrotic damage with just the touch of a finger, and also have the ability to possess you with just a failed charisma save. They also, of course, affect the world around them, so you'll have cold spots and or weird smells manifesting where ghosts may be. We have the specters at a CR1 and the poltergeist at a CR2, which we spoke about in episode 21. The specters are the ghostly beings that cause life drain, so they suck the hit points right out of you. This one, I will also remind you, is due to the fact that their unfinished business is finished, but for some reason they continue to thrive, quote unquote, like air quotes, meaning all living things remind them of what it was that they lost. Therefore, they are just insane and angry about it and want to suck the life out of everything.
Yeah. Mm. The bitterness.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Palpable.
Bitter. You can feel it.
Yeah.
And poltergeists, of course, are the ones that can pick up items and throw small creatures and just yeet things and cause force damage. Adorably due to being an offshoot of the Spectre who has no recollection of why it's even here, so it lashes out in a rage at living things.
Just very angry.
Yeah, not having a good day. Mm-mm. So, and most recently in episode 22, we recovered the Gallows Speakers from Ravenloft and the Haints from the Journeys through the Radiant Citadel. So the Gallows Speakers, I'll remind you, are the ones that are an amalgamation of different cursed spirits and angry beings that are just filled with pain. So it carries the stories of many and actually mumbles to itself all of the weird, creepy stories and things that it has seen over time. Mm-hmm. And so basically what happens is these sad tales can cause your party members to hear and feel that pain if you fail a wisdom save.
Oh.
Yeah. So this would be like on a big battlefield or something like that. Like if a bunch of people, like a bunch of spirits died, they amalgamate into one, which is kind of creepy. And then the Haints being ghostly figures who can take the form of their former living selves, not only passing as humanoid, but use tactics to persuade others to seek out revenge for them. So they will fool you into thinking that you will not know they are a ghost.
Wow, that's some Sixth Sense shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that 100% is Bruce Willis. Yeah. Willis! But yeah, that brings us to today's episode where we will be talking about a few more other ghostly visages. Mieka, take us away.
All right, so I'm going to talk about shadows. And so a shadow is basically that, a shadow. It's a very dark humanoid shape. They love to consume living creatures that are not evil. So they love to go after like the genuine good spirited like people or creatures. When a shadow consumes its victim, a new shadow is created from that said victim. This shadow is able to move around and, like, repeat the process of just draining good people. Now, if the victim returns to life, the shadow will sense that return, and the outcome of that situation is pretty tense. So the shadow will, like, attempt to vex, which to me will mean, like, haunt, basically. Or slay that creature that came back to life.
Slay!
Yeah, slay. That's what I thought too when I read that. Honestly,
slay
if
your
you,
enemy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that would be like awesome. Yeah.
Pop off, queen.
Honestly, if you come back to life and you have your sense, kill your shadow immediately. Like, if someone's like, hey, a shadow has appeared, like, when you died, but, like, now that you're back, you know, whatever. Like, go after that shadow and try to kill it.
Thanks, Peter Pan, for that lesson.
Yep. Shadows can be found just about anywhere there is darkness. This last part, it isn't, like, 5e canon, but a touch from a shadow can be painfully cold and draining, which is pretty obvious.
Yeah, it kind of just fits with the fact of, like, being a ghostly, like, figure, right? They just cause changes to your environment. It makes sense that touching one would not be comfortable.
Yeah. Very uncomfortable. So that's what I have on the shadow.
Nice.
All right, well, let's dig into the stat block for the shadow, which is found in the Monster Manual. They are a medium-sized undead and chaotic evil creature. They only have an AC of 12 and an average of 16 hit points and a CR of a half. So these are,
not that scary.
Yeah. Hmm. They do, however, have a faster than your typical player character walking speed at 40 feet. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's a shadow. It doesn't say hover, but I feel like these things are, like, more like, movements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is why, a swoosh. Swish, which is why I feel like they can move 40 feet.
Yeah, that's fair.
And their ability stats are a mix of average and above and below average, the highest being dex at a +2 modifier, and the lowest being strength, not surprisingly, and intelligence at -1. But they are skilled in stealth and vulnerable to radiant damage, which causes it to roll with disadvantage on attack rolls, ability checks, and saving throws. So they hate the daytime. And the shadow has the same damage resistances, immunities, and condition immunities that we frequently talk about with undead. It's all the same. But they do have dark vision for 60 feet. And being made of shadow, they do not have, like, a language. They don't, like, it's just a dash. Like, there is no language to be had for these creatures.
Yeah.
They can move through spaces as narrow as an inch and can hide as a bonus action in dim light or darkness.
Nice. That makes sense.
Yeah, they are a shadow. They are wisp. Wisping.
Yeah, a wisp.
Yeah, a darky wisp.
Yeah.
So the shadow only has one attack action. Remember, it's a CR of 1/2. Mm-hmm. But it is pretty harsh. It's called Strength Drain. So this is a little bit different than Life Drain. It is a melee spell attack with a 5-foot reach and only one target. But on a hit, it will deal 2d6 plus 2 necrotic damage and reduce the target's strength score by 1d4. Imagine, like, that is when the DM will roll a 4, is on this. Mm-hmm. And, like, dropping your strength score by 4 could be devastating.
Yeah, like, we talked about, like, the stat drops are also...
Those are the worst.
Yeah, we hate them.
Yeah, and so if it is reduced to 0, the target dies. And if that target is a non-evil humanoid, i.e. a good humanoid, it rises as a shadow for after 1d4 hours. Okay. So that's where you get, you know, the multiplication of shadows in an area. But if you do survive this, however, your strength score does return after a short or long rest.
Nice.
So not as, like, devastating as having to get some, like restoration.
Or spend a wish or something.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Crazy. But can definitely do some damage and you can lose your shadow. Yeah. And that's it.
That's frustrating.
Because they have all of those, like, resistances and immunities, which will make them harder to hit. Mm-hmm. And so if they can get you with that strength drain, it can be pretty bad pretty quick.
Yeah.
But overall, not too complicated.
Fair enough. All right, let's raise some dice.
Alrighty.
Pick a d20, any d20.
I like this one.
I rolled a 20.
Oh my god, okay.
Love that for me.
Oh, we both rolled a 20.
All right, we're going to roll off on a 20. That's cute. I got a 7.
15.
All right. So, Mika, you're first.
All right.
So, when it comes to shadows, obviously, we're going to talk about role-playing first. So, any quest or plot ideas or simple adventures or maybe just a role-playing tip that you have about them?
You say they don't... Well, of course, they don't speak or anything.
Yeah.
I would... make these silly in my campaign. I don't know.
I am picturing Peter Pan's shadow.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Playing tricks on you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the non-scary route of just being an asshole.
Like, you catch the corner, like, a flash in the corner of your eye, and it's, like, kind of messing with you.
Yeah. Just flipping you off in the corner.
Yeah, 100% going to be messing with you and your party, so, yeah. That's how I see it. Just annoying and... not scary at all. Like, of course, if you get into combat with these things, they're going to, like, be annoying and draining you and whatever. But, yeah. Just look weird. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I can't really think of, like, a plot reason as to why you would be focusing in on shadows being problematic. Mm-hmm. But I do like the idea as a DM using them when you're operating in a place where undead is very common. Or, like, again, you're on, like, sacred, not sacred ground or whatever. Mm-hmm. Desecrated ground, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, in an area where those things... It makes sense that if you were to drop to 0 hit points in this area, if you don't want to come back as a zombie because there's nothing to cause that... having a shadow pop up would be just something a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. And again, easy to thwart, easy to kill, but, like, still be very kind of, like, emotional and damaging. But again, mooks. They look like mooks to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have kind of two angles to this. I can see it as somewhat of a adventure if you are trying to find, like, return somebody's shadow because they went down to 0 hit points. You did, like, a greater restoration or a revivify and they brought them back. And now you have to chase down their shadow because it's gone, like, phew. And so
it's
add
swooshed away.
Yeah. So add some kind of like mechanic around that where like you need to retrieve the shadow before like the person becomes whole because you brought them back to life, but it's like they don't have a soul. Like you could do some sort of spin on that, and then the shadows are the purpose, like you need to find them.
Yeah. Because you could even start off with that as the storyline for your character's back history.
Yeah.
Your character doesn't have a shadow.
Yeah.
Why not? Because I went against my warlock patron at one point in time, got punished, and they took my shadow from me, and now my goal is to get back in their good graces by doing their bidding to get my shadow back.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could handle run it like being in that campaign though, because I would just keep going to Never King.
Dude, I was waiting for Never King to come
and
up.
I would just be like, wait, okay, no, I didn't know what Casey.
I didn't know what it would be appropriate to bring up Never King.
We got to bring it up. We're talking like, about shadows.
That's very true. So for anyone out there who is a good smut novel human being, needs to read Never King. I feel like that was the one smut novel that brought us all together at one point in time.
Yeah. They are short, delightful, you know,
intense.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You may learn a few things from those books, but.
Oh, yeah. I definitely sent some screenshots to some people, you know what I mean? I feel like this would be a great time for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, like for those, like there is shadow lore, technically. Like there's good and evil shadows within the lore of. I think it's one of the first smut novels where I was actually interested in the lore. You know?
Like, it's like, okay, here we go. I can get behind this.
It's like, I'm actually here for the plot.
But here's the I'm here for, like, what's going on? Like, what do you mean? Like, and I actually want spin-off series, because now I'm interested in the other characters.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, do I want to see them fuck? Sure. But, like, I also am interested to see what happens with, you know.
It's like, what's the build-up? What is the plot?
Yeah.
Basically.
You're just here for the plot.
Oh, my gosh.
But you could do a Never King spinoff with a shadow like this, because then you could, when their shadow arises, a good one and an evil one appears.
Yeah.
Right? And then they both fuck off, and now you kind of have to find both of them, and now you've lost some of your abilities or some of your warlock spells or what have you. And when you get the good one back, you get a certain type of magic back, and when you get the bad one back, you get a certain type of bad magic.
So
back.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would be really
some,
cool.
Some, like, buff guy in D&D's, like, can y'all help me find my shadow? Like, sir, I will not only help you. I will definitely.
I will
find
be here
for
you.
Yeah.
You just wait right there.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
So, getting back out of the gutter, the other plot hook that I thought was actually focusing on how it does target good versus evil. And so if you have a large party with lots of NPCs, that could be a way to reveal an evil NPC that's maybe been, like, lurking around.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever reason, they don't seem to be targeting, like, you know, Gregory over there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, why the fuck is Gregory not being
fuck
targeted?
Gregory. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right, next up, we're going to talk about exploration. So this one, we usually talk about existential horror or body horror, should we feel like it. Any of the spells or powers that you enjoy, or just in the environment that it would exist in.
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I automatically think, like, if you were able to touch one of these things, it feels dewy. I don't
dewy.
Know.
It's
like
moist.
A film or clamminess on your fingers.
Like, they're moist, and it's just like, would there be residue?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though, because they're super cold.
Yeah.
So you know when you touch something that's really, really cold, you just feel your hand. Like, you're like, am I cold or is it wet? Like, you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that
would be the feeling I imagine it would
and
be.
And there might be, like, a little bit of, like, tingly numbness in, like, the fingertips or something.
I would also roll a dice to say that it takes 1d4 days to, like, knock off the chill from touching one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's all I got. That's
I feel like what I would love is that if shadows were created, how they wisp away. that they all wisp away to the same place.
Yeah.
There's like a place where there's like the planes between like good and evil like are weak.
Mm-hmm.
So they flock to this one area where it's like super dark, there's no light, but they just exist within the darkness.
Yeah.
And you rock up with like your fucking torches and shit and they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? Like, so the trick that you're going to come up to like this cavern that's filled with these is the fact that there is no light whatsoever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dim light doesn't exist. Your fucking dark vision or whatever all of us have doesn't work.
Yeah. It's like the darkest of dark.
Yeah.
And that's like the only hint you have in this expedition is you have to find the place where light does not exist.
Yeah.
And then you're searching and that's where you find them. Yeah. I was going down a St. Amingle that I think you will always find them, like, in multiples or groups, mm-hmm. just because of their ability to raise them so easily. It's like,
you
drain the life, you bring more. And so there's a pretty good multiplication effect going on with how they are.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to get, like, if you're entering an area where they are and inhabit, you're going to get, like, a sense of, like, that chill. Mm-hmm. And then you are going, like, I like the curiosity piece where they are going to be kind of, like, wisping around you. And it's like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. And you can't figure out if it's one creature with multiple pieces or if it's lots. Like, you have to kind of figure out what the hell is going on around you.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that a lot. That brings us to a combat. So any combat strategies you find really cool or what happens when it dies? Do you think they would have loot?
Like, I don't think they would even have loot. I just
like, it's like poofs and then it's like ding, 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 ding. Stuff it's just falls. Like, hey.
Where did you hide that? None of your business.
That would be funny. That would be hilarious. But I don't know, when it dies, I just see it, like, just immediately becoming the person's shadow again. Like, it's just gonna go straight back to that person.
Yeah, I could see, like, I think that'd be a really cool, like, cinematic scene. Just, like, this puddle of black hits the ground, and then just slides across the ground to the person that it belongs to. Or, I know it's not rules as written, but I thought it would be really cool that it latches on to the person that's closest to it. And then all of a sudden, whoever killed it now has two shadows. And now you have to figure out how to remove the shadow to add it to the other person. And there's, like, one person in the world that knows that this that there's a magic that does this. And now you have to go and find that person that can remove and add shadows to someone.
Yeah. And you're being, every day, every morning that you have this thing, you have to roll, like, a sanity score. You start bringing sanity and scores because it's turning you evil.
Yeah. Oh, God. Because I fucking know. You guys specifically.
Right? Like, I just wanted to go away.
Yeah, I think the only way you would be able to make this, like, extra scary in a combat because the CR is so low is, like, especially if you have a larger party, is if you wanted to do some sort of tactic where multiples target only one creature and, like, basically
they shroud them in darkness.
Yeah. Oh. And then so, like, that one, if you, you know, roll pretty terrible and the DM rolls pretty good, maybe it will take, like, three or four life or strength drains all at once. And, like, suddenly the party just sees their beefiest party member just drop and then, like, another shadow rises and it's like, what the fuck just happened?
Right.
So it could be, like, a strategy to make them extra scary if you want to use them.
That's fair. And, like, you use them as more of a focal point than less of a mook, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the shadow assassin.
All right, so not a lot here about the shadow assassin. It's a shadow, which I had already described it before, so it has all that stuff.
Okay.
But now it's using a sword made of a shadow, which that's wild to me. It only wants to slay the living.
Slay
your enemies.
That's gonna be the theme of this episode.
Slay your enemies.
Slay your enemies.
Okay.
So much of that at the end of the episode. Slay your enemies.
Yes.
Take up your arms.
So you could come back to life and, like, have your own shadow try to attack you with this shadow sword, which is just crazy to me. So,
oh Lord, yeah,
not a fan.
Yeah. So this is outlined more in, we're going into Waterdeep, Dungeon of the Mad Mage book. It is basically the shadow, but surprisingly, in this stat block for the Shadow Assassin, we are taking a big jump up in, like, challenge. So, a whole nother level. To start, their AC is bumped up just a bit to 14 from 12, but the hit point average from 16 goes up to 78. So that's a pretty big jump in, like,
a little heftier.
Trying to, destroy it. But that matches a significant jump from a CR of 1/2 to a CR of 9.
Like, the fuck makes it a CR 9?
Right? Well, let's get into it. It's not a ton, but it is a bit rougher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, ability scores because of CR 9 do increase slightly across the board, except for strength, because there's still a wispy shadow, so that remains at -2. But then that is actually the only negative modifier in an ability stat. The rest are now above average.
Okay.
So the Shadow Assassin is a little more intelligent, has a little more charisma, and is a little more wise. It is now skilled in perception as well as stealth. Mm-hmm. And they can actually understand the language it knew in life. But it is a shadow. It doesn't have a mouth. It can't speak.
But it knows what you're saying.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And for actions, we get a slight modification of the strength drain. We get a multi-attack with 2 attacks from the, what Mieka said, the shadow blade. Mm. This has a 5-foot reach and 1 target, but deals 3d6 necrotic damage on a hit. Unless the target is immune to necrotic damage, the target's strength score is reduced by 1d4 each time it's hit. So, same thing, if it's reduced to 0, it dies, and if it's a non-evil humanoid, i.e. a good humanoid, it will rise as a shadow 1d4 hours later. So this one, potentially, it can deal 2 hits of that strength drain at one time, plus necrotic damage.
There's the CR9.
Yeah. Because, yeah, you get hit and you, like, max rolls on a d4. In one action, it could take 8 points of your strength down. Like, you're only going to last me 1 more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fucked. Okay, all right, roll some dice. Sorry. I'm
going to go stony again.
I'm going to hold this on a more of a straight line. It's a 6.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we both rolled a 6, Mieka.
What the heck?
Oh, look at us go. 12.
10.
All right, so Casey, you're first, then me, and then Mieka. All right, so start off with role playing. There's going to be a little bit more in this one, hey?
Yeah, I think this one's going, you're going to add the maybe terror a little bit more.
Yeah.
In the sense that it, maybe you see the shadow blade first, like you see the wisps of the shadow, but you're going to actually then see something kind of manifest in your way, and it's going to have that shadowy blade shape. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to maybe take a pause and maybe not be as non-intimidated and being like, these things are just annoying, and be like, what the hell is happening here?
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like they have a higher charisma, they may be more strategic, and they're going to get in your way, especially if they detect that you are good peoples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines, like, if I was going to do a plot or like at least an encounter with these, there's definitely going to be some kind of evil, undead, warlock, lich thing that is collecting shadows off of people. Mm-hmm. So when folks come to, like, kill it, it just takes their shadows instead and then is building an army.
Of these.
Yeah. So that if you go into its caves or into its lair, the shadows are going to have these in them, as opposed to just your regular shadows.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I feel like it would, like, dismiss shadows that aren't of the higher tier.
Yeah.
Right? It'd be like, get out of here, you wisp. I'm here for the swords only. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a big, bad, evil guy that you're going to go traverse to go find, and you're going to come across these when you're going to their dungeon. And again, we can kind of tie into the whole quest that maybe your fighter lost their shadow and becomes one of these instead of your regular shadow.
Yeah, that matches.
Yeah. So you can, like, tier almost what your shadow is like with this, depending on who dies. So...
Yeah, no, like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, they're going to have, like, the groups of, like, a huge group of shadows that have been collected, and I see these guys, like, leading the army, like, you know, making decisions and, like, pushing the other shadows, you know.
They're like the ones on the undead horse, you know, up on the ridge.
Yeah. Undead, there's a horse shadow now. Like, where did that come from? Made it myself.
Yeah. And it's actually like 3 regular shadows just made into a horse.
Made into a horse.
It's like, like, you're going to do this and you're going to carry me.
Three goblins in a trench coat. Yeah. We made it. We did it. We got there. Oh, Lord. I do like the fact that they understand what you're saying. So I feel like they would try and communicate with you too. So if you're role-playing one of these as a DM, I would definitely also like put in, they would make things out of their shadows to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. Like arrows pointing in certain directions, sign language on the wall, or like tell you a story with the shadows themselves, because they'd find a way to communicate with you because it understands what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. That's true. Yeah.
So, exploration, Casey.
Yeah, I do like these being maybe set up as like the second defense, we'll say, as you're going through an area where they are, like shadows in general. So you might be slightly annoyed by the shadows wisping around you, but, you know, they might try to do a bit of damage, but you can just, like, move on. Mm-hmm. And then you move into, like, it's, like, the next level, and you have these ones, and you may not even, like, you could play it two ways. You could play it as you see them lined up, and you can tell that they are much more beefy than the last wispy things you just went through. Or you could play it that they are moving in a similar way and not really stopping, so you can see their form. Mm-hmm. But then as you get closer and you're just trying to, like, you know, wisp them away, it's like, yeah, move out of the way. And suddenly you have, like, a sword coming across your, like, body.
Yeah.
And then that's like, oh, shit. We're dealing with something else here, and then you're in a combat with Shadow Blades.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, because they're smart enough, I think they would have a little bit more of a tactical mindset. Yeah. So they're going to lure you into traps.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking exploration for these, if you're not sure that you're going to be in an environment where they are, the trick is going to be that you'll always have that weird trick of the eye, like when your fire is going in the middle of the night, like you keep thinking that you're seeing things moving around in the darkness, but when you look, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that when you see in the corner of your eye and you look at it, it's not there anymore. So there's going to be a lot of that happening for that exploration piece. And potentially, again, like this might be an area where there has been a lot of like death or a war or a battle happened here. Mm-hmm. So that a lot of these, that shadows that were risen, are warriors because they came from the bodies of warriors. Mm-hmm. So if you're crossing a battlefield, you might risk coming across one of these if you find yourself hunkering down one in the middle of the night. Because they're not going to be out during the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right, no. So you're going to be walking across this like battlefield graveyard during the day, find a place to camp, and then all of a sudden in the night, in the lights of your fire, you're starting to see all these dancing things around you.
Yeah. Right?
So it could be like one of those random encounters as you're just traversing the world.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And you could even have been, like, warned, potentially, by, like, if the last town you were in, it's like, oh, while you're going through days through this area, do not let your fire go out.
Yeah.
Like, keep a fire going. Yeah. No matter what, don't let it go out. And then, of course, the DM, it will be a raging downpour one night where it's, like, impossible to keep the fire going. It's like, ha-ha.
Take up all your light resources, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, that's a good one. That would be the warning, right? Mm-hmm. What about you, Mika?
So, are these things making noise? What about sound? Like, are they running into things and knocking things over, or are they going through things?
Well, that's a good question.
Whoosh sounds.
Whoosh sounds.
Yeah, and then what would it sound like when, like, their blade hit something, though? Mm.
I feel like it would be the sizzle of a cold, like, a knife, cold knife through butter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going to have that, like, a weird, like, sizzle sound almost. Because, like, again, the touch of all of these is going to be super and hyper cold. Mm-hmm. Again, not necessarily rules as written, but, like, I feel like we've all agreed that that's a really cool thing that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're going to be sliced by its blade... I feel like you would hear that.
Oh, yeah.
Because you hear your skin almost, like, cauterize from the cold.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like dropping something in liquid nitrogen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
just like,
sounds. Yeah.
Yeah. They're making uneasy sounds. That's my decision.
Yeah. And because they can, like, understand you, I want to say... they have some way of making, like, a laughing sound, but it's not a laugh, but it's like... I don't know, some echoey something in the area that make it sounds like they're laughing at you or something, you know?
You go back to that weird playfulness of, like, Peter Pan's shadow.
Yeah.
Like, making fun of you and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they lure you in. That's how they get you. combat.
Well, we only got one real thing. It's a bit more devastating than the shadow. What do I want to...
But I feel like that's going to be its goal, is the fact that its main thing is that it's going to try and draw, it's drawing your strength from you as its goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's all it's going to be doing, because it knows that if it gets you, it's going to get another shadow out of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's its goal.
And So for that reason, I think it's going to even more so continually hit the same target, whichever one it has selected.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to just do its multi-attack against that.
Yeah.
Next time, do it again. Like, it's like, you are going to be a shadow.
Yeah, it hyper-focuses. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Like, in battle, it's going to hyper-focus on.
Yeah, and it's not even maybe going to notice if more creatures are attacking it. It is just, like, fixated on one. And then once that one's done, it's going to move on.
Yeah.
And maybe not have the sense of self-preservation either. Like, it's a little bit more intelligent, but I feel like that draw to destroy good creatures is just, like, gonna keep it going.
Yeah. And again, can reveal your bad characters, right? Your evil characters, because that's not gonna go for the warlock that's worshipping Tiamat or what have you, right?
Right.
It's gonna go for your paladins, your clerics, your good singing bards. It's gonna go for, like, I feel like it would go for the good, like, the most good heart first.
Yeah.
So then you as a DM can take that moment to really think about how tiered is your party. And where does everybody sit, right?
Oh, and with hitting strength, like, that joyous wizard's got, like, one round.
Yeah.
And then it's screwed.
Gone.
It's like, oh, you have a total score of 8? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Amiyake, any thoughts on combat?
My thing is, when it dies, I feel like whoever kills it has control of the, of their blade. Like, there you go.
You can add, like, the blade becomes, like, a tangible handle or something.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah. There has to be some... No, I feel like... No, it's not Shadow Blade. There's Green Flame Blade. But how is there not some sort of necromantic Shadow Blade weapon?
There is.
There has to be.
Because there is the Shadow Blade... what is it called? Not Rogue. Hold on here. Let me find it.
Adam's sitting there going, it's this.
Yeah, there is it. There literally is a Shadow Blade.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, yes.
It's in Xanathar's. Yeah. So there is the Shadow Blade, which is, so maybe it does drop one.
That's cool.
As loot when it dies.
Yep.
Drops there you go, blade. The loot. Yep.
There's your loot, ladies and gentlemen. Drops a Shadow Blade.
And like, only the one that was able to successfully kill it, like, it will... I mean, like, it's a blade, so it'll work on anything. But, like, I feel I would, as a DM, I would, like, sprinkle a little something on it. Like, I don't know, some type of power or whatever.
Yeah.
And only
beat
that.
It a little.
Yeah. And, like, only that player can use it. Like, it's tied to that character.
Ooh, yeah. And, like, if another player just tries to, like, loot bodies and tries to pick it up, it, like, burn, like, it, the ice cold burns them and they can't actually get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only the person who slay it or destroyed it.
For the actual Shadow Blade itself, it's written in there, if you drop the weapon or throw it, it dissipates at the end of the turn.
Mm.
So, it in my mind, if you kill this thing and it drops this, that blade is the first person who picks it up to grab it is attuned to it.
Right. And instant attunement.
Instant attunement, and they're stuck with it, you know? Yep. So.
It's what you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad blade either. It's pretty cool. But anyway, sorry, Shadow Blade, I should reiterate, is a spell. It's not an actual weapon.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So, correction. There's no actual blade that is the shadow. It is a spell.
Yeah. But we're saying, you know, there's freedom to make it into one.
To create.
For a temporary purpose or whatever.
Yeah.
Or to really fuck up somebody's game plan that has a precious weapon and now they can only use the Shadow Blade.
Yeah.
Until, you know, they release a curse or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Curses.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
All right. Moving right along, we have one more to talk about today, and that is going to be the Shadow Spirit. Which can be found in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything. But before I get into the creature itself, I must emphasize that this is technically not an undead creature. It is technically a monstrosity, as rules is written. But we here on the podcast think it fits the theme enough that we're just going to make the exception.
We have said.
Yeah, it's so say we all.
This is the way.
So first we need to describe how they are summoned, and that is through an actual spell called Summon Shadow. This is a third level conjuration spell. It's one action to cast, a range of 90 feet, and requires tears inside of a gem worth 300 gold pieces.
Tears.
Ooh. The tears of my enemies. You know? When you cast this spell, the shadow spirit is summoned within the range, within the 90-foot range. You then choose an emotion between fury, despair, or fear, and the creature now manifests as that emotion and adjusts the stat block accordingly.
Ooh.
So yeah, it does say within the book that you can decide what it looks like based on what emotion you choose as well. Mm. It doesn't really have a lot of art for this, so you can get a little bit creative with how you want it to look.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, and a little bit of freedom as a DM. So let's get into its stat block then. So as mentioned, it's a medium monstrosity with an AC of 11, plus whatever spell level was used to cast. So if you do a level 3 spell, it's going to have an AC of 14. So, and that's going to be a common theme within the stat block of this one, is it is very adjusted to who cast the spell. A lot of the stats are based on what the stats of the person who cast it are. So, and they have an average hit pool dice of 35, and then a speed of 40. So again, I think that the added wispiness speed is where we're sitting with this, like, extra 40. Other than that, it does have a ability called Dreadful Scream, which can be used once per day, where it screams, and each creature needs to make a wisdom save or be frightened of the creature for one whole minute. So that's a good kind of piece to keep in mind, because that kind of ties into the three different ability skills that you get based on what emotion you choose. So, as mentioned, when you summon, you choose the emotion. If you choose Fury, it has an ability called Terror Frenzy, which allows them to have advantage on attack rolls against anyone who is frightened. Mm. So Weight of Sorrow is the ability you get if you choose Despair. And the creature that starts its turn within 5 feet of the spirit now has a reduced speed of 20 until the start of their next turn. So basically it slows you down.
There is no, it's not worth walking anymore.
No, I don't want to be here. Ho-hum. Oh, bother. And finally, Shadow Stealth is when you choose Fear, which causes the spirit to hide in dim light or darkness. So it's just kind of like an ability that it gets. So it's kind of similar to the other shadows where it could just hide, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, that is pretty much what she is.
Hmm.
So, and again, this is a spell that you can pick up or give to a big bad evil guy or what have you, that you can just summon shadow spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Summon!
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty badass when you can just bring it out of, you know, nowhere.
Yeah. All right, so raise some dice. Got some questions for you.
Going different this time. This one.
There's a lot of d20s in there, so go ahead. 12.
2.
6.
Great, I'll go first. I'm going to change up the questions for this one because it's a little bit different. Because yes, it is kind of like a creature that we could probably talk about some individual awesomeness around it. But one of the questions I want to ask is this a spell you would take?
Yes.
Yeah.
As a necromancer wizard in my last game, if I could take it, I would.
I just want to scare people. I use it to scare people.
Yeah, it's because it's a spell from Tasha's. That's one of those ones that I don't really know to look for. You know what I mean? Yeah. So for me, it was like a bit of a... I didn't really know it existed. And if it did exist, I thought it would only be for big, bad, evil guys, not for, like, you know, your Joe Schmo, whoever wants it.
Yeah, it has to kind of fit your backstory or, like, how you have built your character to be perhaps dark, perhaps a bit, like, emo, goth, witchy. The ones that we love.
The ones that we know and love.
We love a goth bitch.
Yeah, that would like to play with people's emotions in this way, like despair, fear, and fury.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. So that brings me to my next question. A little bit on the role-playing side. Looking at the abilities, would you choose fear, fury, or despair? What would be the one that you would choose the most, do you think, based on the abilities? Do you want me to remind you what the abilities are?
I want to say the fury one was probably the most fun, but...
Yeah, so the fury one is basically if you're frightened, then they get advantage on their attacks against you.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have basic multi-attack for, like, hitting you with its cold paws. Mm-hmm. And it's the multi-attack is based on the spell level rounded down. So if you cast it at level 3, you get 2 attacks. If you cast it at level 4, 2 attacks. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I like that fury.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
because that's a good battle tactic, right? You rock up, you scream,
frighten
everybody,
and then you have advantage on everything. Town. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's the natural if you're playing a big, like, you're the aggressor and you have this, you would pick Fury for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the other bit, like, because the last one, like, the weight of sorrow, which is despair, is the slows down the creatures when they're close to you. And then the last one was the shadow stealth, which is just, if you have fear, causes a spirit to be able to hide in dim light and darkness, which I think is just not as, like, indicative to, like, fear as I would want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the other two are actual abilities that do something.
Mm-hmm.
The third one that's fear is kind of like, it just has a, like, a passive ability, basically.
Which
needs some type of action.
Yeah. Especially if you're using, like, a spell slot to summon this, you don't want it to just be able to hide.
Right.
Well, I guess, yeah, tactically, if you want to keep it around and not get destroyed as quick, then you could use that. But then you're also taking away an ability to do more, like you said. I kind of like the despair one for if it's, like, you don't want the party to get away. If, like, but it you would have to, if you're using this as part of a big bad evil guy, it's like, no, don't go. Like, if you've just, like, destroyed the party and they're like, we have to run. Like, we need to get the fuck out. And it's like, no, don't, wait. And then despair just makes, like, usually your monk, your fighter, your barbarian, that's within 5 feet. It's like, I disengage. It's like, well, you only get to go this far.
Yeah.
It's like, slow down there. Don't leave me.
Yeah. It would be a good tactic even as a player. Like, you know how every time you're, like, you're fighting a bunch of mooks and they start running away? It'd be good to, like, pop off this spell, throw a shadow spirit up, scream, fear them, frenzy them, so that they can't run away faster, so all your slower characters have a faster chance of catching up. Because, again, it's 90 feet. You can cast this thing as far as 90 feet.
Yeah, you could drop it in front of them. Yeah.
And then screams at them. Yeah, and if they're frightened, they're supposed to run in the opposite direction of them, right? So they'll start running back towards your group at a slow pace.
Yeah, right? Fair.
That's a pretty cool combat tactic.
I like this. I like this
situation. Options, all from one spell.
I know. I do agree that it has to be pretty thematic to your character, because it would be very strange for, like, the lawful good whatever to suddenly be like, here's this scary shadow that's going to scream in your face.
Yeah.
Right? That only does fear, dread, and despair.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, good person, good character, fear.
Yeah.
And fear.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lanta. Yeah, no, it's pretty simple. Cool. Any final thoughts on that last one?
Oh, I would like it.
Yeah, I really did not know this existed.
Yeah.
And so now that I do, it's like, if we ever spin and do a dark campaign or I want to have a really dark backstory, this I'll keep it in mind.
You mean every character we ever build?
Yeah, we tried. We tried in this last campaign to go the good way, but, you know, horrible things happen.
My character is inherently good. She's just a bitch. There's a difference.
Yeah. Well, my character died, so...
Yeah, like...
So the one I tried to be the most good, the most loving, the most caring is dead.
My character's mother figure. So, like, what do you want me to do now, Adam?
Yeah. Shit happens.
Oh, son of a bitch.
R.I.P.
Oh, man.
All right. So, on a scale of 1 to 10 bone-chilling phantoms, how would you rank these creatures as a part of the undead landscape in D&D 5th edition? First up, Shadow.
How boring. You bore me.
It's, it has one thing. The only thing it has going for it is that it does the strength, reduction.
Yeah.
That is the only thing that makes it a little bit more, like, that is not great.
Yeah.
But... One?
I do like the idea that you could, if, the only way I would give them, like, a 2 or a 3. Like, I'm not scared of them. But I do like adding the ability that you can add a little bit of lore, you know? Like, I mean, not to get all too much on our tails again about Never King, but there could be a lot of, like, lore and reason behind, like, your shadow coming or somebody else not getting a shadow or it attacking you and it not attacking somebody else. And so you can add a lot of storyline teasers with these because of their specificity of, like, who they attack and who they don't attack, how they raise, and so on and so forth, right?
Fair.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, pick on someone your own size. You're only going after good people who aren't doing anything to you.
Yeah. They're living their fucking life, and here you are just being a menace.
It's like,
yeah.
You're just going into a village, like, draining, like, innocent people. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is true. It's something that you would be forced to have to deal with. Like, yeah. It's like, you wouldn't be able to just move through, and they will leave you be. They are going to come after you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just got it in the scene from D&D where they walk by them because they're too stupid and they don't care about them. This is similar to this one where you're an evil campaign and you're walking through a graveyard full of shadows and they're not attacking you. And it's like, huh, what does that say about me?
Yeah, lots to unpack here.
Do I want to unpack that today? I don't want to unpack that today. I'm glad I'm not being attacked by these fucking shadows. That works for me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh right. Lord.
Shadow assassin. I feel like...
A lot cooler.
Yeah.
It's a step up. Go ahead.
I don't know. I am maybe somewhat surprised that it's all the way to a CR 9.
But I think it's because of the double hit with the strength.
It has to be that can pretty devastating.
Especially if you're like a character who's only has like an 8 in strength and has a negative modifier. Mm. It's going to kill you in one round.
Yeah.
Like outright kill you in one round.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. The threat is definitely significantly higher. But still, in the realm, I would give it a 5. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not as afraid. There are way worse creatures in the dark than this, in my opinion.
You know what? To be fair, I agree with you. There are probably there, and because I live a life of where I'm constantly in light, I don't think I would really have a problem with these. I would give it like 5 or 6, about halfway.
Yeah, like 7. Like I don't see these like just going after just about anybody.
Yeah,
like they have a job to do. At least in my brain, they have a job to do. They have a mission. They're on a mission. They have a goal.
Unless you trigger that, they're probably going to stay within their responsibilities. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we're coming after you. But
and the summon shadow spirits.
Great spell.
Like it has some interesting like mix and match things, which is fun, which could be add the elevation of challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm still sticking around 5. I'm like in 5 territory today.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like its ability, it doesn't have a CR listed in it because it's like it shifts and adjusts based on whoever casts the spell.
Right.
So it never actually places a CR. Mm-hmm. But like it can be pretty deadly.
Especially if, like, you can, like, with your modifiers, like, actually being added.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so you can make it scarier, you can make it bigger, you can make it beefier. And, like, the frightening, like, especially as being used against you by a big, bad, like, evil guy. Mm-hmm. It, like, it give frightening everyone right away. Don't get me wrong. Again, the DC for it is pretty low. And then based on whatever modifier it adds, I think it was like 11 and then plus whatever spell it was cast with kind of thing. So it's passable, but it's going to suck for those that did not pass because you're frightened for 1 minute. That's 10 fucking rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
So it can be debilitating, but it can also work in your favor if you're casting the spell as the player, right? Mm-hmm. So I give it. Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I was just about to say 7, too.
Yeah.
All right, now it's time to close the casket on this part of our conversation on Undead in D&D 5th Edition. If you'd like to discuss what you've heard here today, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and at r/itsamimic. For more episodes on monsters and other D&D topics, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Bring Out Your Undead. If you'd like to support us, we have a donate button on our website at itsamimic.com, as well as a store and a Patreon. You can check the show notes for more details. Thanks again for listening to It's a Mimic, where you never know what you're going to get. Some words and see how that looks.
Words.
On this episode.
Words.
Words.
Words. I'm just going to do that. don't lose your shit now?
Talking to the drive.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, the cat.
You're worried? How are you? How did you even...
Like a ninja.
He's like, sorry.
He's like,
wait.
I'm not supposed to be here when this happens. Yeah. I'm just going to scooch over
here. I'm just going to scooch on towards the front door and maybe somebody will open that for me.
Oh, man.
Okay, undead, 20. Which one are we doing? 20.
We're doing, right now, today's is 23.
Today's is shadows. Okay. Yeah. My goodness. Okay. How are we doing on this? We're good?
I think we're good. Okay. Sort of.
In this episode, we'll be peering... Okay, it's been a year and a half.
Good? Yeah. We'll be fine. So hold on. Let me turn up the microphone volume. Maybe that... Okay, I think that, yeah, that's perfect. Excellent.
Yep.
And then I'm going to make sure this is muted before I get too into it. Okay, fantastic. All right. Are you ready? Let's fucking get through this so we can get hammered.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, mine too. Yes. I'm starving. Give me a burger and some beer.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
And then most recently in episode 22, we covered the gallows speakers from it does say that it would physically appear like that emotion as well. So you as a DM have kind of creative freedom of what...
Sorry.
Tracy, can you get your...
I'm sorry. Okay. It's the goddamn cat. I love it, but...
We love Momo.
We love Momo. It's fine.
We love the king, okay? Just hold on for another, like, half hour. We're going to be fine. All right.
Bye.
Your outros are already, like, recorded, Miyake. You don't actually have to have another outro.
You're just trying to bring up the spirit. Bye!
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Fear, dread, despair. Bye, everyone. Yeah. Have a great day. Oh, I love that about you.